All of us are full-time ministers. And I want to remind you who you are, who God hardwired you to be. It's so easy to forget that, to get distracted by what's going on around us. But I want you to remember, he says, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. We're all in this together. None of us can do it alone. But if we do church as a team, we begin to see it. And we do church as a team. Do you understand? We're all in this together. None of us can do it alone.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. At New Hope, we believe that doing church as a team is God's design for effective ministry. Each person serving with a willing heart is vital to God's plan being accomplished. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once.
Believe it or not, we don't have that much time left. The book of Psalms says your life is like a breath. It's here and then gone. James says your life is like a vapor. It's gone. Bible says your life is like a sigh, says Job. And it's done. If you think everything is still right now, think again. Did you know that this earth is spinning on its axis at 23 degrees at 1,000 miles an hour? It's also whipping through space around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. So really, in reality, you are right now spinning faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine. But because of gravity and God's balances and his principles and ordinances, we feel like we're still. But in reality, everything's moving very quickly. And a few more spins, we'll be in eternity. I mean, think about it. In 40 years, this room will basically be empty. I'll still be here because I'm younger than most of you, but basically you'll be gone. It's just not that long. People say, well, Wayne, you talk about eternity. How long is that? It's long. Well, like how? I say it this way. If you take a cable, a steel cable, and you bust it through that wall and let it go as far as you can see until it disappears over the horizon, pull it through this auditorium, get it tight, shoot it through that wall until you see it disappear over that horizon as far to the left and as far to your right as you can see, that cable stretches into eternity. I say that's like eternity. Our life on this earth compared to eternity, I take out a pen and I draw a vertical scratch. See that scratch, like 1/64th of an inch? That's about how long our life on this earth is compared to eternity. But some people think that all they have is the scratch. So man, they love that scratch. They live for that scratch. They save for that scratch. Oh, they kiss the scratch. They use oil of old age to try and widen the scratch. But it's only a scratch. They live scratch lives, and they have scratch dreams and drive scratch cars, but it's all just a scratch. They don't know any difference. The Bible says it this way, but God so loved the scratch that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish on the scratch, but have eternal life. See, that's where we come in. The reason God saved you, if you've received Christ, the reason God saved you isn't just to get you into heaven, you know, get you a seat in the non-smoking section. It's not a fire escape. If the only reason God saved you was to get you into heaven, then as soon as you would have received Christ, he would have killed you. Well, that way you get to heaven. No use you hanging around here, taking up somebody else's space and eating somebody else's food. Get you to heaven. No. Instead, when you got saved, he put a message into your heart. Tell them. And he put us back on that scratch and says, whoo, tell them. Don't forget who you are. Remember. And he put us back on the scratch and he says, now tell them. And he put us in every city, every place, so that when people reach out for God, he's not far from any of them. that through your voice and through your invitation, through your love, your compassion, people will find Christ. And that's why you are so important to the plan of God. And once you recognize who you are, because everything else is going to perish, right? I mean, look around. Everything else is going to burn. It's gone one day, except people. And so God says, there's an eternal investment that I want you to be a part of. And I'm going to put you right there in that county, in that community, in that year, in that era with these people, because I have an eternal plan for you. And He chose us. He put us in this auditorium. You're hearing this message at the same time. Why? Because God's chosen you to be a part of His plan. So God says, I'm going to spread you out in different places at different times because people need to hear the message of eternity who think all they have is a scratch. He said, well, how's that going to happen? How are they going to hear about Jesus? How? Well, we need more ministers, huh? Well, yes and no. I'm going to ask you a question. I know there's some staff here. How many full-time ministers do we have here right now? Couple, okay, all right. I'm going to ask you the question again. I want everyone to raise your hand, okay, your right hand, right? Everybody, all right. Here it is. We're going to practice. Are you ready? Let's just practice. Everybody raise your hand, go. All right. That's the answer to the next question, all right? I'm such a nice teacher. I even tell you the answer. Here's the question. How many full-time ministers do we have in this room? Yeah, good. Some of you are still doubting yourself, but you are. You see, before you were a business person, you're a full-time minister. Before you were a homemaker, you're a full-time minister. Before you're a construction worker or banker or a lawyer, you're a full-time minister. You say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Yeah, you're not part-time. How many of you love Jesus part-time? How many of you would like to be in heaven part-time? No, we're all full-time. He said, where did you get that? Let's read what it says here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Why did He choose us? So that we might proclaim His praises, the very one who chose us and delivered us out of darkness and brought us into His glorious light. So you're a chosen nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And He wasn't just talking to pastors. He's talking to us. You say, well, wait a minute, Wayne. How can I be a full-time minister? I get my salary from the construction field or from the timber industry, or I'm a nurse. I get it from the hospital. Listen, don't ever confuse the distribution or the avenue of your salary from the source of your salary. So let's trace our salary back to see where it really goes to, the source. It's like following, stereo wires, trying to find out where it goes. You say, well, I'm in the construction field, so I get my salary from the construction company. Oh, no, it gets through the construction company, but keep going. Well, then the customer pays, okay? Well, the trees are cut, okay? And then the timber is made, and yep, milled, right? Keep going. And if you keep going to who made all of this, who created all of this, voila, you end up at the throne of God. Well, I'm a teacher. Yeah, well, the DOE pays me. Oh, no, it's through the DOE, but keep going. Well, it's a tax base. Uh-huh, I know, I pay. And it's through this and that. You keep going. Voila, it goes up to God's throne. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm a car dealer. I get it from the car. Well, the manufacturing, yeah. The steel, yeah. And the iron ore, yeah. Keep going. Oh, it's at the throne of God. Yeah, you see, it doesn't matter where we get our salary through. The source is always going to be God. And Colossians even says that. Let's read what Colossians says. Read it out loud. Go. Whatever you do, put your whole heart and soul into it, as into work done for God and not merely for men. Why? Knowing that your real reward, a heavenly one, will come from God, since you are actually employed by and not just by your earthly master. So never confuse the source with the avenue through which God distributes. And he's got a plethora of different kinds of avenues through which he brings salary. Why? Why? There's a reason that God has it that way. The source is the same. The distribution system is huge. Well, why do you bring it through here and here and here and here? Well, let me ask you, how many of you, with a raise of hand again, how many of you believe God loves construction workers? Raise your hand. Yeah, he does. He does. How many of you believe he loves teachers? Yeah, policemen. Yeah, here's a hard one. Attorneys and lawyers. Yes, I know it's hard, but he does. He does. Well, how are you going to reach all of those, the teachers in the DOE? How are you going to reach all those teachers? You want to get a minister, a pastor over there with a Bible? That won't help. No, the best way to reach a teacher is through another teacher. Best way to reach another real estate person is through a real estate person. The best way to reach a construction worker is through another construction worker that becomes his friend. The best way to reach anybody is through someone that's in their field. So, by the way, how many full-time ministers do we have? Raise your hand again. Okay, just check in. Some of you dropped out. All right, so here's how God does it. God loves teachers, and he wants to reach teachers. So what does he do? He takes a full-time minister and disguises him or her as a teacher. Love it. Gives that person brains. And puts them in the Department of Education to teach. Why? Because God loves teachers. And the best way to reach them is through another teacher who understands that he or she is first a full-time minister. How does God reach policemen? He takes a full-time minister, disguises him or her as a policeman, even gives them a uniform so they look like the rest of them. And that person is there when they have a hurt or a problem and leads them to Christ. Ah. God loves construction workers, so he knows the best way to reach construction workers is through another construction person. So he takes a full-time minister and disguises them as a construction worker. He gives them muscles and hair and tattoos. The men too. And puts them in the construction field. Because God is not far from any of them. He's determined the times and the places in which they should live. And here's in the last chapter, and he salted it here. He says, now you're not going to be there long. This is your run. You only go around once. So I'm going to distribute you because I love the people around you just like I love you. Now tell them, the one who led you out of darkness, tell them that they have life beyond the scratch. For God so loved the scratch. And just be yourself. You don't have to be someone else that's contrived and weird. Just be yourself. I will open the door. You just walk through it. And once you understand, oh, that's who I am, then it changes you. Those who serve here at New Hope, I just tell them that the sermon begins out in the parking lot. When you welcome someone, when you embrace someone, when you say, glad you're here, their hearts start to open up. And when they come to Christ, we did it together. We did church as a team. There's a guy, when we first started church in Hawaii, it was set up and take down every week and the whole thing, because we rented a high school gym. And he was setting up speakers on a Saturday morning. And I came in and I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm setting up speakers. I said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, I am, Pastor. I do this every weekend. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. He looked at me and he said, what am I doing? I said, well, you're probably making it possible for someone to come into this auditorium and maybe for the very first time hear the gospel clearly without static or without any rumblings. And you've taken the time to tune this sound system in such a way that this person hears the gospel clearly, maybe for the first time. And when God touches their heart and they receive Christ, I didn't lead them to Christ. We did together. Thank you. I went up to the children's department. There's a lady changing a baby's diaper. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm changing a kid's diaper. I said, no, you're not. She said, oh, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. She said, then what am I doing here? I said, you know, you're making it possible for a young mother to entrust her child to you with confidence that you'll love that baby just like she loves him. And when she comes into the auditorium, she's free of distraction to hear the gospel, and maybe for the very first time. Because of you, when she receives Christ, I didn't lead her to Christ. We did it together. Just wanted to come and say thank you. And we do church as a team. Do you understand? We're all in this together. None of us can do it alone. But if we do church as a team, we begin to see it. All of us are full-time ministers. And I want to remind you who you are, who God hardwired you to be. It's so easy to forget that, to get distracted by what's going on around us. But I want you to remember, he says, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. You say, Wayne, what if I invite somebody and they reject me? Then I'm a failure. Let me tell you the story of two guys. One's name is Leon. Leon was one of the high school kids at Churchill High School when I was in Youth for Christ. And I used to pick up these high school kids and bribe them with breakfast so I could share a little bit of the Bible with them after breakfast. And so about 6 months after picking up Leon and paying for his breakfast among some other high school kids, I took him to the side and I said, hey, Leon, would you like to receive Jesus? You've heard me talk about him. He said, no. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I just don't want to do it right now. I said, okay. So I got him in my car, took him to school, kicked him out. And I remember driving back to the office saying, Lord, what a failure. I am such a failure. I can't even lead a high school kid to Christ. And the Lord, I don't know if you've ever had God speak to you in the middle of a thought, but bang. It's like the Lord spoke to me and said, failure isn't when they don't respond. Failure is when you give them nothing to respond to. You did that. I'll take that seed that was planted and I'll take it from here. You just planted. And sure enough, about 3 months later, he received Christ. And I remember another young man, his name was Jamie. I was actually coaching soccer at Marist, and he was one of the students there, and I'd take him out to breakfast to try and bribe him too. And I remember picking him up, and I'd pick him up every week. And it was dark 30 when I picked him up because he lived a long ways out. And this went on for maybe 3 months. So every Wednesday morning, I would pick him up, drive way out to where he lived, pick him up. One morning I picked him up and I had my Bible next to me in the car, and he got into the car and got into the front seat, and he was very silent this morning. I was driving away and he turned to me and he said, hey coach, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He pointed to the Bible and he says, you know, I don't believe that. He said, would you still pick me up every week if I never became a Christian? My first thought was, no way. And then it was like the Lord said, no, you will. So I said, yeah, I will, Jamie. If you never receive Christ, I'll still pick you up. He said, okay, and that was it. About 6 months later, he received Christ, married a wonderful Christian girl later on, and still serving him today. And I thought, Lord, we'll let you take care of their response. It is our responsibility to plant the seed. Because God's not very far from anybody if we remember who we are.
Our God over all, our future is in. Lost in your presence. When all else fades away, your promises will remain. forsaken. We have a promise. We have a future. Our God is for us, greater within us. We have a promise. We have a future.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Life has a way of wearing you down. There are bills to pay, deadlines to meet, family pressures. We try to evade and avoid, but that's not the answer. In Pastor Wayne's book, The Divine Mentor, you will meet men and women from the Bible who have lived through your worst day imaginable. Some were victorious, others failed. But the lessons you learn from them can save your marriage, your family, even your life. Order a copy of The Divine Mentor online at lifejournal.cc. That's lifejournal.cc, The Divine Mentor. Order a copy today.
Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.